We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
Just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is hour number three of Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue on here on the 9th of January, 2010. We've covered last week, we spent the whole show last week talking about the terrorism, what the source of terrorism is. We talked about Operation Cyclone in Afghanistan back in 1979, and the fact that our government has, through the CIA, some of the special programs that they had, where they built the madrasas for the Taliban, things like that. You know, a lot of the things we're being told today about terrorism, the source of terrorism, it's just not the way it's being presented, ladies and gentlemen. And we're more and more across America, we're seeing more and more of this stuff as we had false flag operations. We've had various things that have been orchestrated for us as an excuse to go into other countries and be involved. So whenever something like this happens, we have to look at history, and we have to see some of the things that have been done over time, and certainly ask the questions that are uncomfortable, look at the documentation, the information that's available to us. More and more things have come out about this attack on Christmas Day on Northwest Flight 253, and this Mutalab guy, Mutalab, however you pronounce his name, this extremist. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this with Kurt and Lori Haskell. Kurt and Lori were on the flight Christmas Day. They witnessed the whole thing. They are the people who witnessed at the boarding gate a sharp-dressed man that helped get Mutalab on the flight. And so we have them here right now, and they're going to be sharing their story and their observations with us. And if nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, it's important because it provides more data, more information from an eyewitness that was there. And these aren't just ordinary folks. I mean, these folks have their law firm, their attorneys in Taylor, my old hometown, which is a suburb of Detroit. Anyway, they're going to be joining us in a few minutes here, to tell their story, to tell their observations. So I highly encourage you to stay tuned and to pay attention, because what they have to say is very important. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we'll bring up Kurt and Lori here on Govern America. Stay with us as we continue here in just a moment.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Attention ladies, Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interests run. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lies in the balance.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Govern America. Kurt and Lori Haskell are attorneys at the Haskell Law Firm in Taylor, Michigan, and were passengers aboard the Northwest Flight 253 when Umar Farouk Abdul Multalab attempted to blow it up using an underwear bomb on Christmas Day. Prior to the flight, the Haskells
say they witnessed a sharply dressed man aid Mutaleb onto the flight without a passport, and they're joining us today. We're happy to have them on Govern America to tell their story. Good morning, Kurt and Lori.
Morning.
I appreciate you being with us. Why don't you start, either one of you, why don't you go ahead and start and tell us a little bit about yourself and talk about how you came to be on flight this Northwest flight.
I'll go ahead. Lori and I are attorneys. We have our own law firm in Taylor, and we're on an African safari in Uganda coming back, and we had a connecting flight through Amsterdam, which was our last flight to get home to Detroit. And I'm sorry. What I saw in the airport at Amsterdam was two men approaching the final ticket agent. One I would describe as a poor black teenager, and the other I would describe as a wealthy-looking 50-ish Indian man.
Okay, and, now you were sitting on the floor there at the terminal?
We were sitting on the floor about 10 feet from the final ticket agent playing cards. There weren't any seats around where we could sit by each other together. It was pretty crowded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we were sitting there. And when the two approached the final ticket agent, only the Indian man spoke, and what he said was, "This man needs to board the plane, but he doesn't have a passport." And the ticket agent then said, "Well, you need a passport to get on the plane." And the Indian man then responded, "Well, he's from Sudan. We do this all the time." And the ticket agent then referred them to a manager down a hallway, and the two went down the hallway. We never saw the Indian man again. He never got on our plane, and the man who I thought was a poor black teenager would be the one that would later try and blow up our plane.
So you didn't see them again until later on. You recognized him when they took Mutaleb away, that it was the same man, right?
Right. I recognized him after we landed, and authorities were taking him off the plane. He stood in the aisle for about 5 or 10 seconds, and I got a pretty good look at him, and that's when I made the connection.
Now, tell us a little bit about the flight. How long was the flight?
The flight was, I believe, 8.5 hours.
Okay, and you described it as being mostly uneventful?
Yes, absolutely nothing was going on. It was a good flight, and we were about halfway through our descent when the attack took place.
Lori, can you describe a little bit about what the attack was like? What exactly transpired there on the flight?
We were sitting there watching the monitors on the back of our seats, watching how many minutes we had to landing, where we were in the air, and the pilot announced that the flight attendants needed to take their seats. Right after that, the flight attendant in our area walked by our seats and started kind of talking to herself, saying, "Did anyone just hear that noise?" And then she then started to act a little bit frantic and was saying that she smelled smoke, asking if anyone could see smoke anywhere. Right after that, we started looking around, and we noticed smoke coming out of the seat area in, like, the 1920 section of the plane. Kurt got up at that point, ignoring our seatbelt light, and walked up towards what was happening. He then saw fire going up the side of the plane. We both did. And he came back and sat down, and kind of everything happened at once at that point. The terrorist was knocked over by two passengers and taken into the first-class area. A flight attendant grabbed the fire extinguisher and put the fire out. Right before all of that, though, some of the passengers were yelling different words like fire, we need water. Some people were just yelling in general. And one lady, which kind of made Kurt and I realize that this may not just be an electrical fire or something, yelled terrorist. And it kind of made us start to think that there may be somebody trying to blow up our plane versus just some kind of issue with the plane or somebody accidentally starting a fire with a match or something like that.
Yeah. Now, so you didn't even know there had actually been a terrorist attack until somebody actually yelled the word terrorist.
Well, and even at that point, I don't think either one of us knew for sure. We were just, that was then put into our brains that that might be a possibility. But then everyone around us, once things calmed down a little bit, people were talking, and the people that were a couple rows in front of us were saying, you know, no, there was a guy sitting there that did this. He was taken off to first class. Kurt and I didn't even really notice the commotion with him because we were both staring at the fire on the wall, hoping it didn't start spreading towards our side of the plane or throughout the whole entire cabin. There was smoke through a lot of our cabin, and I think that we were more concerned with the fire than, you know, this person that had been taken off to first class. Since he didn't put up a fight or anything, these two men basically knocked him over and took him to first class, and it was a pretty non-eventful thing. He wasn't fighting. It wasn't like he was yelling and pushing them. So we didn't even really notice that part of it, even though we were only seven rows behind them.
Huh. Now, Kurt, when you got up and walked a few steps down the aisle there to get a look at the guy, what did you see exactly? I mean, Lori was kind of describing a little bit, you know, that you saw the flames and everything. Did you get a look at the terrorist?
I took a few steps up the aisle to get a better look at the area that was smoking, and then it burst into flames. I wasn't really looking at the terrorist man at this point because he was being hauled away to the first-class area without a fight. So, to me, you know, I didn't know if he was just someone that had been injured in a fire or what he was, but he wasn't fighting back, so I wasn't really paying attention to him at this point.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because a number of people have, well, I guess other passengers on the flight or something, I've heard that some people just kind of said he was almost like he was dazed or something, but, I mean, if he exploded an underwear bomb, you would think he'd be screaming in pain, and, you know, he would at the very least have that as a problem, but you didn't see any signs of that.
You're right. You think he would have some emotion at all, but he had absolutely none. I describe him as emotionless.
Interesting. So then what happened? I mean, you got people running around, you got people putting out the fire, you got a tremendous amount of smoke. I would imagine the entire cabin filled up with smoke at that point, didn't it?
No, it wasn't that bad. The fire was confined to an area of approximately two seats and the wall up to the base of the ceiling by those two seats. So it wasn't that big of a fire, and they put it out pretty quickly. A flight attendant ran over with a fire extinguisher and put it out pretty fast. So there wasn't that much smoke in the cabin. It was all done very quickly, maybe a minute, maybe less than a minute.
Mm-hmm. And so this was how long before you were supposed to land?
Right when this started, the pilot came on a loudspeaker and said, flight crew, take your seats. We're landing in 10 minutes.
Okay.
And when it was going on, he declared an emergency landing and then sped up. So I would say we landed in between 5 to 10 minutes after this took place.
Now, they have the guy subdued. The pilot came on and announced an emergency landing. You said you felt the plane speed up, and then you touched down at the airport. What happened once you got to the airport?
Well, we landed on I believe it was an abandoned runway, or one they don't use too often. And, you know, we're all expecting all the doors to open and emergency evacuation. None of that happened. Police officers came on board in the first class section. None of them came farther back looking to see if, you know, there were any accomplices or to check the area, you know, around the fire to see if it was out or nothing. They told us all to sit down. You're not getting off the plane. And they made us sit there for about 20 minutes on this plane, you know, doing whatever in the first class area.
Okay, we have to take a break. Hold on a second, Kurt and Lori, and we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and continue, okay? Folks, this is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. Our guest is Kurt and Lori Haskell. They have the Haskell Law Firm, And they were on the flight, Northwest Flight 253, when the terrorist attack struck. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Today.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks as we continue on here. And our guest is Lori and Kurt Haskell. They're the Haskell Law Firm. They own the place there in Taylor. And they were on the Northwest Flight 253 when the terrorist attack happened on Christmas Day. They're here to share their story and their observations and everything that happened there. Now, before the break, you were talking a little bit about what happened in the air and that the airplane had touched down. Kurt, did you want to pick it up? You said you were on the runway there for about 20 minutes.
Sure. After we were sitting there for about 20 minutes on the plane, the terrorist man was escorted off the plane in handcuffs. And that's when I got a good look at him and realized it was the same man that I saw before we boarded. And that's when we both realized that this really was a terrorist attack and not some kind of fluke fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then we were allowed to take our carry-on bags off the plane, which to me was a big mistake. I mean, we have this crime scene here on a terrorist attack, and we're allowed to take our carry-on bags off the plane, again, not knowing if there's an accomplice here, another bomb, and regardless, destroying the crime scene. Mm-hmm. So we're taken off the plane with our carry-on bags. We're escorted into the terminal in a large baggage claim area that had been evacuated. And we're told to stand along a certain wall there with our carry-on bags. And we stand there for about an hour until bomb-sniffing dogs get there.
Now, talk a little bit about the security, Lori. What was it like there? I mean, you were given a lot of instructions on what you couldn't do, right?
Yeah, it was ironic to us that we were allowed to bring our carry-on bags in there that could have contained something, but we weren't allowed to eat or drink anything. Anybody that had drinks with them, they were taking them away. At first, they weren't allowing anyone to use the restrooms that were there. Once people started complaining a little bit, they started allowing people to use the restrooms one at a time with an FBI agent, and we thought that was a little odd, too, because if someone had been carrying something on them, they could have destroyed the evidence in the bathroom. But probably the whole time we were there, about 5.5 hours went by until they brought drinks up, like different pops and juices and things like that. And I think they brought some different food up, but I didn't see it. But it took them 5.5 hours in the Detroit airport. All they had to do was walk upstairs to McDonald's and say, this is a, you know, federal emergency. We're taking your food, you know, and they didn't do that. We had to stand in one small part of that area and not move. People had kids there that were hungry and thirsty. They didn't care. It took them about 3 hours probably until they announced that if people needed medication or had health issues, to come and let them know and they would take care of them. I think all of us sitting there almost felt like we were being treated like criminals when we were all really the victims of this crime.
So it's like you guys were actually the suspects in the whole thing. Even though you were innocent bystanders, you were being treated like you were guilty as well.
Right. I mean, the whole thing was just a chaotic mess. Kurt and I were just appalled at how there was, it didn't seem that there was any kind of protocol or any kind of order they were following. I think that there was some of the officers there in customs that didn't even know at first that there was a bomb on our plane. I think they were just instructed by the FBI to hold us there and weren't really told much about what was going on. When anybody would ask them questions about, can you please tell us what's going to happen next? Can you please tell us how long we're going to be here? You know, they would say, we truly don't know what's going on. We really don't have an answer for you. We're sorry. It was just chaotic. Once the FBI got there, you know, it straightened up a little bit, but, you know, it was almost like nobody knew what to do. And post 9/11, Kurt and I just thought that there would be something in place, like where they knew what to do if something like this happened again. And we really don't think anybody had any idea what they were doing. They were just kind of winging it, figuring out, you know, what to do next. Should we question them? Should we go through their bags? It was pretty horrible, really.
Yeah. Now, Kurt, you were talking, you know, I read your account in mlive.com, and you had started posting there, and I guess the website contacted you to do a formal interview, you know, but I remember you were talking about some of the things that happened there in that room where you were isolated. There was nobody else on the floor. Is that correct?
That's correct, right.
So the place was completely abandoned. And what happened next? You were there for several hours, as you said. Nobody could drink. Nobody could eat. Nobody could make any phone calls. Nobody could text anybody. Nobody could even go to the bathroom. And you're in complete isolation, very tight security. And I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take another break. When we come back, I want you to tell us what happened next. Because, you know, when the bomb-sniffing dogs arrived, that's when things kind of got a little more interesting. Our guest is Kurt and Lori Haskell. They're with the Haskell Law Firm in Taylor, Michigan. And they're giving us their account of what happened on that day, on Christmas Day, when the Northwest Flight 253 was attacked by Multilab, the terrorist who they say is from Yemen. Stay with us, folks. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back in a moment here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkeylight's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylight, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylight is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylight, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here. Our guest is Kurt and Lori Haskell. They are attorneys in Taylor, Michigan, and they were on board the flight from Amsterdam to Detroit on Christmas Day when the terrorist set off his bomb. So they're telling their story today, sharing their experiences there. And before the break, we were talking about how you folks were in the airport and the bomb-sniffing dogs were arriving. The security was very tight. You weren't allowed to do anything, basically, but sit there and wait. And you weren't getting any information. You want to pick it up there, either one of you?
Sure, I'll pick it up. The bomb-sniffing dogs got there about an hour into our time that we're in the terminal, and one of them sat down by a carry-on bag of an Indian man who was about age 30, who was wearing orange, the man I describe as the man in orange. And this man was then immediately taken away with his bag, not handcuffed at this time, but he was taken to a room, and we could see the door, and he went in, and he was in there about an hour, and
okay, just
came
for clarification
out.
Purposes, this isn't the sharp-dressed man that you were talking about that you witnessed back in Amsterdam.
Right. That man never got on our plane, and he was about 20 years older than this man.
Okay.
Okay, he was taken back into a room, not handcuffed. He was in there about an hour. He came out. He was then handcuffed and then taken away. Simultaneous with this event, an FBI officer came up to the rest of us and said, you're all being moved to another area. It's not safe here. I'm sure you saw what just happened and can read between the lines on why you're being moved. And then we're all escorted out of this large baggage claim area into a long, narrow hallway.
There were other flights that probably arrived during this time. Didn't you say somewhere that you had that nobody else was being brought into the airport, that the other flights were forced, the other flyers, the other people that were passengers on other flights were left on the runway in their airplanes as well?
That's my understanding, that no one was allowed off any of those flights for quite some time. And in any event, none of them for sure were allowed where we were at. We were what I would describe as quarantine. There was no one that was allowed to be around us at all. And this man stood by Lori and I the entire time we were in this area. So he was on our flight. There's no question in my mind at all. He was about 20 feet away from us the entire time. So we were then taken into this long, narrow hallway. During this time, one of the passengers on our flight went up to an FBI agent and said, there is a man with a camcorder that videotaped the entire terrorist attack from before it started until after it ended and gave four possible seats the man was in. And the FBI...
Who said this?
I'm sorry.
Who was it that said this?
This is a passenger that was on our flight.
Okay. And they told you that at that point?
They told me this later.
Okay.
Later. I've been in contact with some of the fellow passengers on our flight. An FBI agent then came forward and said, whoever was filming this, come forward. We want the video. Nobody came forward. They took no efforts to determine which passengers were in these four possible seats. And they could have confiscated all of our cameras at that point, but they took no action to do that. And to my knowledge, never got the film. I don't think they have it even to this day. When we're in this hallway for a few hours, an FBI agent came forward and then said, we believe we have those responsible for this in custody. Notice I said those, plural, not the man or him.
Right.
And he made two further references to more than one person. And then he said, we're going to be doing interviews now by family. We're going to wrap this up quickly, and you all be free to go. We were then escorted back into the large baggage claim area to start our interviews. And, you know, we did our interviews, and then we were free to go.
Okay. So then you presumably went home at that point. And what happened after that? Eventually, I mean, obviously, it must have been the whole thing must have been an incredible experience. I can't imagine going through that. I mean, you know, being in that enormous amount of fear, knowing that you this could be it. I mean, this could be the end of your life. And so you went home. How long was it after that that the FBI came calling?
The FBI came to our office on the 29th, so 4 days later.
Okay, now what did you think of the media coverage of everything? What were your observations there?
At which point?
Right after it happened. I mean, was there anything that they were saying publicly that you found strange or, you know, was it pretty much accurate?
Not at that point. I think the media was, you know, all trying to figure out what was going on. Not a lot of passengers were talking, and, you know, the government was still trying to figure out what official position it would take on this, which they've now changed their story five different times regarding the man in orange who had the bomb, apparently had the bomb in his bag after we landed.
Lori, what was the I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Their official position to start was that he didn't exist. And, you know, after I spoke out into the media about this story, then the position started to change. Story number two was, yes, someone else from the flight was taken into custody, but he was held on immigration charges. And then after I came out to the media again and talked about the dog finding something in the bag, then the story changed again to a man was detained, but he was not from our flight. And as I've already pointed out to you, that was impossible because we were totally quarantined and people were not even getting off of other flights at this time. I pointed that out to the media, and then the story changed again to, let me see if I can remember, it changed so many times. I think it was someone from our flight was taken into custody. He was held a few hours, questioned, and then was let go. And then I think story five was two people were taken into custody, both off different flights, but due to agricultural violations. So, you know, they just can't keep their story straight. And now it's just deafening silence on this issue. You won't hear the government or the media say a peep about anything that happened after we landed.
So they got caught changing their story so many times that they finally got a gag order in place.
Right. Now it's just there. You won't hear anything from the media or the government about anything that happened after we landed. Nothing. Just total silence.
And, you know, one thing that dawns on me is when generally when somebody's telling the truth about something, they're pretty consistent with their story. And yet we have this constantly changing story that the FBI evidently couldn't keep it straight. Now, Lori, when the FBI agent was at your office, how did the interview go?
Well, they wanted to interview us separately this time versus they interviewed us together at the airport. So Kurt was busy or something, so I met with them first. They probably only talked to me for about 10 minutes or so because they were mostly interested in, I guess, the man that Kurt had seen prior to us boarding in Amsterdam. So they did show me a series of pictures, and they asked me if I could identify any of them. They showed them to me one at a time. I basically couldn't identify any of them except the last two pictures they showed us were the terrorists that were in question, although, interestingly enough, the pictures are just the pictures that had been out in the media. I thought that if they were going to show us pictures, it would be, like, lineup-type pictures. Mm-hmm. And the other eight pictures were people who did not look similar to the terrorists at all. They were Arabic people, Indian people, all different ages. I have no idea who any of those people were. However, when Kurt was meeting with them, they showed him one picture, and Kurt's response to them was, oh, that's the man that you detained in Detroit that you're trying to say doesn't exist, right? And they just said, no comment. We expected them to bring the video from Amsterdam with them for us to review because, I mean, we may be two of the only people that can point out where we were sitting, where this desk was, where they were taking the tickets, what mm-hmm. point it was that we saw this happen, or Kurt really saw this happen, and when Kurt inquired about that, they just said, no comment. And Kurt, you know, Kurt then said to them, you know, wouldn't that be the best place to start here? I mean, instead of going through hours and hours of video, I can point it out immediately. You know, I was only at the gate for like an hour, no comment. You know, he then asked if they had a video at all, if it existed, no comment. You know, we almost felt like they were there because of media pressure. A lot of the newspapers and radio shows we had spoken to were asking us, has the FBI been back? That's kind of ludicrous. They haven't contacted you again. And we would say, no, they haven't been back yet, but we're happy to talk to them. And I think it just kind of filtered back to them. And they said, oh, we need to go talk to these people or the media is going to be all over us about it. They didn't ask us anything different than what they had asked us in the airport with the exception of showing us the series of strange pictures.
So are you kind of under the impression now that there's not really been a real investigation into this whole thing?
No, I mean, I think there's been a investigation, but I don't think that they're investigating everything, and I think that they're completely ignoring our claims.
I guess kind of what I'm getting at is, Are they just going through the motions of an investigation, or do you really think they're trying to get it to the truth of the matter?
No, I don't think they're trying to get to the truth of the matter. On the man before the flight we saw, I have no idea why they're not trying to on that man. I don't really have any theories on that.
That seems to me like that would be one of the most important things that you'd want to get to the bottom of, you know, because that really is the key to the whole investigation, I would think.
You would think. I mean, all they need to do is show this video and either prove that Kurt's wrong and he was mistaken and this individual was not the terrorist, it was someone else, which I highly doubt because there were very few African-Americans on our plane. I mean, Kurt and I think maybe like 5 to 10, mm-hmm. maybe. And
how many people were on the flight?
I think there was 278 plus the cabin crew. So,
okay.
I mean, it's not like the whole flight was African-Americans and Kurt could be confused. And if they show the video and Kurt is correct, then the man with the terrorist is probably going to be the most wanted man in the world, and we should show his face so people can figure out who he is and we can find him. But they're not showing the video. We found it interesting that the incident that just occurred in Newark recently, they released the video from that like the next day. You know, they had it ready. They're showing the public what happened with the security breach. However, the biggest thing to happen since 9/11, they're not showing any of the video at all, and they're not showing it to the two witnesses that could just point it out and make this easy for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then there's the other thing with regard to the fact that the terrorist was able to get on the plane in the first place without a passport because, you know, I find it interesting that the government now immediately has a solution to all of this. And the solution is these scanners that show you without your clothes, you know, and I mean, very detailed images, you know, showing the shape of your everything that you have. And, you know, and this is not something that would even have stopped this guy because, as you guys have pointed out, and it's such an important, what you witnessed that day is so important because you provide the key piece to the puzzle. And the fact that this guy got on the flight without a passport in the first place is just absolutely remarkable to me.
Yeah, I mean, when Obama's report came out, I think it's the first time that I got really angry because, I mean, it seems to me like they're admitting there was fault with the system. They're admitting that this could have been stopped if protocol and all the rules would have been followed. They're admitting that people that our tax dollars pay for jobs just weren't doing their jobs properly, and that's why we almost died, yet then he comes out and says he's not firing anybody. He's not making any major changes. He's going to let everybody deal with this internally. And I'm like, well, that basically means then they're hoping that the American public will forget about this soon and will just continue things the way they were with nobody doing their jobs properly.
With the exception of now they're going to be scanning everybody at the airport and
Right. Seeing
them naked.
And do we really need that? I mean, if we were following all the rules that we had in place in the first place for these agencies, they probably would have stopped this guy from getting on the plane. He would have had to show his passport. You know, you have to show a passport to get on an international flight. It's not rocket science, you know. And this would have never happened if they would have just followed all of the rules. However, we always go around all of the rules, and that's when these things happen. It's just absurd to us. And you know, getting more and more angry.
Not to make more rules. The solution is to follow the ones you have on the books already. Hey, we have a caller now. Folks, if you'd like to call in, by the way, it's 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. John C., go ahead.
Hey, hello, Kurt. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Listen, I'm a former Michigander. I lived in Southgate for years. I moved in the 90s to Tennessee. I've got a couple questions. First of all, the local talk radio up there used to be XYT. Is there any mention of this? Are they covering this at all?
On local talk radio up here?
Yeah, WXYT.
I'm not sure what station that is. Lori and I don't actually listen to a lot of talk radio, but I will say this. We've been on the local TV shows a few times, J Channel 7 and Channel 4. We've been on Fox News. We've been on the Frank Beckman Show twice. I believe that's AM 760. We've been on the radio in Grand Rapids and Traverse City. And maybe some more that I can't think of. So we have been on some shows around here.
Okay. Well, the reason that I'm asking is to kind of, you know, I worked in Detroit for years delivering gasoline back when Reagan was president and Carter. You know, I moved in '93. Michigan is a famous area, and a lot of times when I would go into these air-boned gas stations, we do this all the time. And when they said that, you knew that something was up. So that struck me when you said this Indian man said we do this all the time and then was sent down the hallway. To me, it looked
like hold it right there, John. Hold it.
I'm more interested.
We have to take a break here. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us, folks.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
All right, we're back. I'm going to dispense with the music in the interest of time. We only have a few minutes left. John, real quickly, can you ask your question there?
Well, my question is, when you heard we do this all the time, has the question ever come to mind who they went and seen and whether or not that was a way to get around the whole idea of security and just how deep this is involved, other than the Indian man, that maybe there was a Copenhagen connection?
Well, you know, it's a curious comment, him to say that. We do this all the time. So you know, what, I don't know what you read into that other than, you know, there's some kind of, I don't know, some kind of involvement at the airport maybe?
Well,
I don't really know
what,
how to read into that. But, well, yeah, there's some kind of concern there. We do this all the time. We, plural. What agency is he working for with?
Is that the thing is, with me being involved in the oil business for 30 years, I know for a fact that the United States knew that there were people in the Detroit area that were terrorists, like Nobby Berry, like Ali Jawad, like Yosef Hamidi. I knew these guys. I didn't know at the time that they were terrorists. I knew they were involved in some shady business dealings. I knew that Nobby Berry disappeared with $15 million of Mobil Oil's money, and 2 weeks later was standing on a tarmac in the Middle East waving an AK-47. I mean, and I'm a truck driver, so the people at the in the upper levels of our government know what's going on, and they allow it for whatever reason. I mean, you know... You know what Dearborn has become in the last 25 years. You remember Mayor Hubbard when, you know, only white folks were allowed in Dearborn, people. And now here we have a nation of Muslims.
Okay, I'm going to have to run here, John, because I also have Mike in Kentucky. I want to get him in
all right.
By the end of the hour real quick.
It is an interesting question. Thanks, Darren.
Thank you so much, John. Mike,
thanks, John.
Go ahead.
Yeah, first, thanks for getting me on, but I don't really have time to get to a couple of questions, but I want to applaud you for doing this type of journalism and for the courage that you guys have for the potential in this volatile political climate that we have for coming forward.
Real quickly.
Thank you for coming forward.
Can you have a question?
Well, I don't think we have time to get into it a whole lot,
Well, go ahead and try.
Well, I wanted to say, watch your back, and thanks for coming forward. And, you know, I think we're the reason that a lot of these investment schemes are going on is because they're trying to stay ahead of this debt bubble that the United States has, and so they need to do these investment schemes like these expensive scanners because they're strategically invested in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've thought about that.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, Mike, and I appreciate the call.
Thanks.
That's one thing that Michael Chertoff has been on all the networks promoting this, I guess, and it comes out now that he actually has an investment firm that would stand to gain from promoting these scanners, which is really interesting. You know, I had a story to cover about that, but we're certainly not going to have time today. But I appreciate very much, Kurt and Lori, you coming on and sharing a little bit of your Saturday with us. I guess the only thing I could say is that, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens and what comes of this. Do you have anything else that you would like to say here in the waning moments of the program?
No, thank you for having us on.
All right.
I just want to say that, you know, Lori and I's only motivation is to have an complete, open, and honest investigation. That's it. Nothing else.
Amen to that. All right. Well, God bless both of you, and we pray for your safety. And thank you. I reiterate the caller. Thank you so much for coming on and telling your story and having the courage to speak out, because certainly other people wouldn't have the courage to do that.
No problem.
Folks, we're out of time. We'll be back again next week. Pray for this republic. Do what you can to restore it. God bless each and every one of you, and we'll talk to you next week.
With recent